Again, we're glad that each and every one of you are here. John chapter 8, verses 31 to 33. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Let's pray one more time. Father, thank you for this time that we've had together. I pray that it has been a blessing to those that are here. I pray the scriptures and the song has been a help and a blessing to each person. And Lord, I pray that you've been pleased with it all. Now, Lord, I ask that you would bless the text of the message and bless the message. I ask you to help me to preach. And I ask that your word would go out in Holy Spirit power, and that the Holy Spirit would do in our lives whatever needs to be done. We pray especially this morning for that lost soul, that person who needs to be made free. I ask that you might free them today. In Jesus' name, amen. Last Sunday morning, we looked at one topic. A believer in Jesus is not a genuine believer, a true believer, unless he or she continues in the faith. The Bible says here that after Jesus got done speaking, that many believed on him. But he gave them a warning. And the warning is that true disciples indeed, real disciples, would continue and would continue in the word. Continuing was our subject last Sunday. Continuing down the narrow road with the people of God. Continuing down the narrow road in the house of God. And reading and obeying the word of God. We call this the perseverance of the saints. And it in no way, is in conflict with eternal security or the preservation of the saints. But rather, perseverance of the saints is a companion to preservation of the saints. If you were not here last Sunday, and you have not already watched the video of the service, I strongly encourage you to get online and watch the sermon from last Sunday. Now in verses 31 and 32, we see that these Jews believed on him, and he warned them that they must continue to be real disciples, to be disciples indeed. And then he said that they would know the truth, and that the truth would set them free. Having already looked at the character of a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, one who continues in the Word, we now look this morning at the privilege of the true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We find in verse number 32, two precious promises made to those who are disciples indeed. The first promise is this: ye shall know the truth. What a wonderful promise that is. If you are a true disciple of Jesus Christ and you continue in his word, ye shall know the truth. Those who continue in the word of God, those who continue with Jesus Christ, will see in the word of God, they will see the truths. of God's word. They will know the truths of God's word. And they will believe the truths of God's word. A disciple indeed who continues in the word of God and with the Lord Jesus Christ will see and understand and believe the truths that are found in God's word. Even those who are true believers and disciples indeed, many times may be and even are in the dark about things in the Bible that they ought to know. All right? Even true disciples indeed, even those who are true believers, many times, are in the dark about things they ought to know, things they should know, things they can know. I mean, God's children are just that. They're children. And they understand as children, and they speak as children, and they need to be taught. God's children need to be taught. And if we did not need to be taught, then he would not refer to us as disciples or students. We need to be taught. And the good thing is, believer, the good thing is if you are a disciple indeed, you are a true Christian, the good thing is you can, if you continue in his word, you can be taught. You can learn. You can understand. You can grasp the truths of the word of God. Those who are disciples indeed will continue in the word. They will be taught. They will learn. And they will know truth. Brothers and sisters, it is a great privilege. It is a great privilege to know truth. It is a great privilege to know the particular truths that we are supposed to believe. How great to know what we believe. How great to know why we believe it. How great to know the grounds for our belief. And even how great to know where in the scriptures we learned such a truth. I'm saying to you, if you are a disciple indeed, a genuine believer in Jesus Christ, you will continue in the word of God. You will continue with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will see the truth. And you will understand the truth. And you will know the truth. And what a gracious promise from Christ. All that continue in his word will know truth. You won't know it all at once. But you'll know it and you'll learn it and you'll understand it and you'll grasp it in increments. As much as is needed for today, as much as is needed for tomorrow, as much as is profitable for today, as much as you can handle today, you will learn the word of God. You will know the truths of God in increments as you grow in the Lord. Just like it was in school. Each day, each passing month, every passing grade, every year that we attended school, we would learn that which was appropriate to our age. We would learn that which we could handle. And Christ scholars, Christ's students, Christ's disciples indeed are sure to be well taught if they continue in his word. This is one of the promises that Christ gave. If you are my disciples indeed, if you are true Christians, you will continue and you will know truth. I don't know about you, but that is a wonderful, wonderful promise. To know that if I continue in the Word and I continue with Christ, that he will make me to know truth. And I don't know about you, but for me, I want to know truth. I want to know what is true. I want to know what is right. I want to know exactly what God said. I want to know what God means. I want truth. There are so many lies out there. There's so much false doctrine out there. There's so many false teachers out there. There's so much false teaching out there. I want to know truth. And I've been told that if I am a disciple indeed, and I continue in the Word of God, I will know truth. There's no reason for a child of God not to know truth. I understand that depending on how long you've been saved, the person next to you or behind you might know more truth than you do or less truth. We all advance depending on when we got saved. We all advance at different rates of speed. We all advance and learn things differently at different times. But I hope that every day, every month, every year that passes, that you are learning and understanding more truth from God's Word. That's the way it should be. Listen, there's nothing wrong with being in the third grade. Everybody needs to be in the third grade. The problem comes when you're in the third grade for 10 years. The problem comes when you're the only one shaving in the third grade. All right. I don't know when you became a Christian, and you might be in the third grade, but hopefully next year you're in the fourth grade and you're learning more truth and you're understanding the Bible better and you're continuing to study and you're continuing to grasp it. Don't stay your whole life in the third grade. Amen? Amen. Ye shall know the truth. What a wonderful promise to God's people. The second promise is that the truth shall make you free. Now, there are two groups of people that find freedom through the truths of God's Word, if they continue. You'll have to excuse me. I'm drinking more water than usual. My throat's scratchy. There are two groups of people that find freedom through the truths of God's Word, if they continue. First, the sinner can find the path to freedom if he or she will continue to read and look into the Word of God. If you're here this morning and you are a sinner, and I will be addressing you again at the latter half of the message. But if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you are still in your sins. You've never been born again. You're not a believer and follower of Jesus Christ. If you will continue to read and look into and listen to the words of God, if you continue to attend the preaching of God's Word, then you will see the truth and you will find your way to freedom. Because the truth shall make you free. And so if you are not a Christian, if you will continue to read your Bible and look into the things of God and continue to attend the preaching of God's Word, that truth will dawn upon you and it'll lead you into freedom. Freedom from what, you say? What does the sinner need to be freed from? Romans 6:17 says that sinners are servants of sin. Servants of sin. Isn't that something? All this time and you thought you were the master of your life. All of this time you thought you were the master of your life, doing what you want to do, even though it might be wrong, even though it might be sinful. You are doing what you want to do. You are the master of your life, but you are not the master. The Bible says that you are the servant. You can't help but sin. You are in bondage to sin. You are in bondage to Satan. You are in bondage to your own flesh and your own selfish desires. You are not the master of your soul. You are not the master of your life. You are a servant. Romans 6:17. You are a servant. Boy, doesn't that kind of change the perspective on your sinful lifestyle? You think you're having a great time leading your life, the master of your life, controlling your fate? You think that you're at the helm? No, you're not the master of anything. You are the servant. You're the servant of your sin. You are the servant of Satan. You're the servant of your own selfish desires, your own flesh. You're the servant to it. You serve your own flesh. Romans 6:18 says that you can be made free from that. You don't have to be a slave to Satan. You don't have to be a slave to your own flesh. You don't have to be a servant to sin. You can be made free from sin and become a servant of righteousness. Now that's the kind of servant I want to be. Amen. I want to be a servant of righteousness. I want to serve God and serve that which is right and serve that which is holy. I want to live for that which is right and that which is holy. I do not want to be a servant of sin. I want to be a servant of righteousness. Listen, this morning, if you will stay in God's Word and stay listening to the preaching and keep reading your Bible, my dear sinner friend, you are now in servitude to sin and Satan, but you can be made free. You can find the path to freedom through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ, through the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, proclaims liberty and freedom to those bound by sin and those bound by Satan. The prophecy in Isaiah 61:1 was this: the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings to the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives. And if you're a sinner here this morning, you've never trusted Christ, you're not a genuine believer in Jesus Christ, a genuine follower of Christ, you're not a disciple of indeed, then my friend, you are captive. And Jesus Christ has come to proclaim liberty to you and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Jesus Christ, through the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, proclaims liberty and freedom to those bound by Satan. There are three words in the Bible that describe this liberty that you can have. The first word is justification. The second word is sanctification. And the third word is glorification. Justification can free you from the guilt of your sin. A guilt that would bind you over to the judgment of God. I'm talking about a guilt that will act like shackles and handcuffs and will bind you over to the judgment of God. And I'm talking about a guilt that binds you under a great burden of your heart and mind. And I'm talking about a guilt that binds you under a great burden of your conscience. You see, every unbeliever is bound by their guilt and will be turned over one day to the judgment of God. But not only are they bound by their guilt to be turned over to the judgment of God in the future, but they are bound by guilt today. And they are under that heavy load of a bothered conscience and a heavy burdened heart because of the guilt of their sin. But Jesus Christ came to bring us justification. And justification is a declaration, not guilty. Amen. That's what justification is. Justification is a legal term in which you are declared not guilty. And then there's sanctification. Justification frees us from the guilt of sin that binds us. And sanctification frees us from the bondage of sin that keeps us from serving God in freedom and constrains us in slavery to sin and slavery to self and slavery to Satan. It frees us from the bondage of sin. And then there's glorification. Eventually, whether by death or by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, glorification eventually will free us from from the very presence of sin once and for all and forever, freed from the presence of sin when we'll be glorified in our bodies. Justification, the act of God declaring you not guilty, takes place at the very moment that a person is born again, at the very moment that a person becomes a Christian. Justification, God declaring you not guilty, comes at the very beginning of your new life in Christ. You're broke. Those bands of guilt are broken. You're no longer under the heavy burden of your conscience, and you'll no longer be taken to the judgment of God to be judged for your sin. Sanctification is the process of separating further and further from the world, and separating further and further from our flesh, and separating ourselves further and further from sin, and drawing closer and closer to God. And that takes place throughout the Christian's life. You were justified the moment that you got saved. You are being sanctified every day as you break free from one thing after another and come closer to God. And then glorification is the departure of this world and the departure of all of its evil. And it comes at the end when we step into the very presence of God on His throne. Glorification. You can be at liberty, my friend. You can be free, my friend. If you would just call upon the name of the Lord, He will justify you. He will break the bonds of the guilt that will surely take you to the judgment of God. He will break the bonds of guilt that give you a heavy and guilty conscience. And then He will begin to sanctify you and conform you into the image of His dear Son, each day being more and more like Christ until the day that you see Him. And then when we see Him, we shall be glorified and we'll never see sin again. Not in ourselves and not in this evil, wicked world. We will be free from the very presence of all sin forever. And God's people said, Amen. And so I say to the unbeliever this morning, to the sinner who still has not sought God for His mercy and forgiveness, I say that the Word of God will lead you to Christ, where you can obtain that wonderful freedom, where you can be justified and begin the process of sanctification, and where one day you will be glorified. The unbeliever can find freedom. You can know the truth, my friend, and that truth can set you free. Let me speak to the believer for a moment before I go back to the unbeliever. The saint, the Christian, the disciple indeed can find a path to a different kind of freedom if you'll continue to read and look into the Word of God. If you continue to attend the preaching of God's Word. The more that a child of God reads and studies and meditates and believes and practices the Word of God, the more that a believer is faithful to the preaching of God's Word, that believer will find truth, and that truth will lead him or her to freedom of a different kind. The more faithful Christian, I'm talking to the Christian now, the more faithful you are to the Word of God, you'll find freedom from such things as pride and prejudices. The more that the believer dives into the Word of God and is faithful to the Word of God and immerses himself or herself into the Word of God, they will find a freedom as well. They'll find a freedom from fear and worry as they trust the Lord more and more. As the believer immerses himself faithfully into the Word of God, they too will find freedom from false notions and false doctrines. They will find freedom from weights and sins that doth so easily beset them. They will find freedom from the bondage of others. There's no shortage of people, religious people, that would like to put Christians back under bondage. But believer, you are not under any type of bondage. You are free. And as we'll find out, Lord willing, next week, you are free indeed. Don't let anybody put you back under any type of spiritual or religious bondage. You know the Jews, when Christianity got really rolling, the Jews, they wanted to do that. They wanted to put the saved Gentiles back under bondage. They thought the saved Gentiles should be circumcised and several other things, that they should be placed under religious and ceremonial bondage. Brothers and sisters, you are free indeed. Don't let anybody put you under bondage. The believer immerses himself or herself into the Word and continues in the Word and is faithful to the Word, and they can find the freedom from the fear of man. They can find freedom from ignorance and error. Oh, there's so many things that I believe the believer can free himself or herself from if they would continue in the Word of God. I'm trying to say this morning. If you will continue in God's Word, you will find truth. And that truth will set you free. Whether it's the bondage of your sin, or whether you're a Christian, you just need to be free of pride and free of worry, free of error. The Bible has truth, and that truth will set you free. Look at verse 33. Incredible. Verse 33 is incredible. They answered him, these Jews answered him, said, "We be Abraham's seed." Look at this. "We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" So this was their response to Jesus. When Jesus says, "Continue in my word, and you're my disciples indeed, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," their response is, "We're Abraham's seed, and we have never, ever, ever been in bondage to any man." Excuse me. That is a complete and utter lie. That is so far from the truth that it is unbelievable that they said it. That is not even a half lie. That is not even a deception. That was an out and outright bold-faced lie. The first time we see Israel in the Holy Scriptures, they have been in bondage in Egypt for almost 400 years. We've never been in bondage to any man. We are Abraham's seed. When we first see the nation of Israel, they are in Egypt crying to God for freedom from their terrible bondage. In the book of Judges, we read where the nation of Israel went in and out of bondage to the Canaanites 7 times. Each of those times for a different number of years. Read the book of Judges. The book of Judges, from the beginning to end, is all about Israel going into bondage, coming out of bondage, going back into bondage, a judge bringing them out of bondage, going back into bondage, a judge bringing them out of bondage. 7 times. They spent 70 years in captivity in Babylon, and that's where we meet Daniel. 70 years. Captivity in Babylon. And even right now, they are sitting under Roman authority, and they want to be free. Have you ever seen such a bold face, 100% utter falsehood in your life? Jesus says you can be made free, and they said, we are Abraham's children, and we have never been in bondage to any man. You are a liar. It's no wonder that in verse 44, Jesus says this to them. Ye are of your father, the devil. He abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. He is a liar, and he is the father of lies, and you are his children. You may have read verse 44 in the past and thought, boy, that's some pretty bold language that Jesus is using. I mean, it is bold language, isn't it not? I mean, you are of your father, the devil. The devil is your father. He's a liar and you're a liar. I mean, that seems pretty bold. But when you go back and you look at verse 33 and look at their bold lie, we've never been in bondage. Come on, everybody knows you've been in bondage. You've been in bondage over and over again. So why did they lie so blatantly? Why did they tell such a big whopper? Men will say anything, however false and however ridiculous, to avoid the truth and to oppose the truth. And of course, the way we oppose the truth is with a lie. Men and women who are suffering and groaning over the most oppressive bondage are many times unwilling to acknowledge it. They're indignant at the suggestion that they are indeed servants to Satan. They are indignant at the suggestion that they are indeed in bondage to sin. I mean, these people are suffering and groaning under the most oppressive bondage that there is, the bondage of sin, the bondage of Satan, the bondage of self, the bondage of this world, and yet they are indignant at the suggestion that they are in bondage. There are at least four things that the sinner in bondage does not want to hear about himself. First, the sinner does not want to hear or acknowledge that they are destitute of righteousness and that they are destitute of goodness. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear they are unclean and vile in the eyes of God. No sinner wants to hear that. Sinners like to think themselves as pretty good. It's hard to meet a sinner who acknowledges that they are absolutely void of any righteousness and any good. They think that they have some righteousness and some good, and many of those sinners are clinging to that, hoping that on the judgment day that will buy them something. No sinner wants to acknowledge or admit or hear, you are destitute of any righteousness and any goodness, and you are unclean and you are vile. What sinner wants to hear that? Isaiah 64:6, we are all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Our righteousness, if we're a sinner not yet saved, our righteousness is as filthy rags. No sinner wants to hear that. Secondly, the sinner does not want to hear or acknowledge that they are destitute of wisdom, that they are full of vanity and foolishness. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that. Oh, they may have worldly wisdom, but they have no wisdom from above. Psalm 39:5, behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, my age is nothing before thee. Verily, every man is at his best state. Every man is at his best state, vanity. Men don't want to hear that. If you're here this morning, you're a sinner. You don't want to hear that you have no unrighteousness or that you have no righteousness. You don't want to hear that you have no goodness in you at all. You don't want to hear that you are utterly vile and corrupt. You don't want to hear that. You didn't come to church this morning to hear that you have no wisdom, that your life is filled with vanity. Sinners don't want to hear that. The third thing a sinner does not want to hear or acknowledge is that they are destitute of strength and power. And without God, they cannot even draw their next breath. What sinner wants to hear that? Sinners take pride in their self-sufficiency, in their strength, in their power. I'm the master of my life. I'm the master of my soul. I'm at the helm. You can't even draw in your next breath without God. You can't take the next step without God. You're nothing. You have no strength. You have no wisdom. You have no righteousness. No sinner wants to hear that. John 15:5, for without me, ye can do nothing. Fourth, a sinner does not want to hear or acknowledge that they are destitute of freedom. No sinner wants to hear that they are in the state of bondage. They certainly didn't. He said, you can be made free. They said, we've always been free. We've never been in bondage. You're lying. You're lying right to the face of Almighty God. And besides that, everyone around you knows you're lying. But men don't want to hear that they're in bondage. The condition of the natural man, the man who has not been born again by the power of God, is much worse than he or she believes. Your condition is much worse than you believe. The sinner's condition is far worse than most preachers will say, and far more worse than most Sunday school teachers will say. Man is a fallen creature, totally depraved, has no goodness in him, and is sick from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. He or she is completely under the dominion of sin, is a bond slave to their own lusts, and cannot cease from sin. The natural man, the sinner man, is taken captive by the devil at his will. The sinner walks according to the prince of darkness of this world, the spirit that works in the children of disobedience. The sinner fulfills the lust of his father, the devil, and is completely dominated by the power of Satan. My sinner friend, it is much worse than what you ever thought it was. It is much worse than you ever thought it was. Your condition is much worse than you ever thought it was. And from this bondage, from this fallen condition of yours, nothing will help but the truth of God to deliver you and bring you to freedom. My friend, I urge you to continue reading the Word of God that you might see the truth about yourself and that truth of the Word of God might set you free. I urge you to continue coming to church to hear the Word of God preached in hopes that you would see and hear the truth and be set free. In closing, here is the truth that I hope that you will discover. You are bound in sin. You are a slave and a servant to your sin. Should you die in your sins, listen up, should you die in your sins, as Jesus said, in the scripture, a few verses up, should you die in your sins, I cannot and will not tell the mourners at your funeral that you're in heaven. Your family and friends will not receive that comfort from me. I will not be brash and bold and hurtful. I will not tell them where you are. But if you die in your sins, I will not comfort them and tell them that you're in heaven. The truth that I pray you discover before you die is that Jesus Christ, God's only Son, came to earth and died a horrible and cruel death so that sinners can have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you would throw yourself down before God and confess and repent of your sins and put your faith and trust in him, he will give to you mercy and forgiveness, and he will give you eternal life. And if you find the truth of God and it leads you to freedom from sin and you have eternal life, then at your funeral, I will be able to comfort your family and tell them that you're in a better place indeed. Sinner, it is far worse for you than you ever imagined. But if you continue in God's word, you can find the truth and you can be set free. Let's pray.